That's sort of like,
I mean, you may like what you hear, you may not like what you hear, but you still hear something, and then you make the deal adjust accordingly.
My perception is there are those who are interested in truly being emergency responders, and then there are those who are very enthusiastic about technology, and the various facets of ham radio.
I think you might find there are some people who, like you say, enjoy the technical aspects of it, but who don't necessarily want to get involved in all this administrative stuff we've been doing here since, well, refresher training. Mm-hmm. You know, they might like the ATV stuff. Yeah. They don't care about any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one idea I have, it's a difficult, is one of the position codes, for example, deals with ATV. So those individuals in our group who have that expertise, they become the trainers. For example, I am certainly not qualified to talk about ATV. And there are other topics like that.
But to be qualified for the ATV position code, does it require these other basic courses before qualifying that other course?
I think we have, which came first, the chicken or the eggs and problem. but I would say, yes, you need these foundational courses. For example, I just read several paragraphs talking about ICS. And without having taken the classes on ICS, you would not necessarily appreciate how the piece of technology fits into the total operation. Okay. So anyway, we're not going to solve that here, and we don't. And the tape is running. So let us now move on to the bottom half of page 11 of page 25 of our MAPS implementation guide. Emphasizing performance, I think some key questions are there in the bullets. What standardized knowledge are each expected to have? What training requirements will they be expected to meet? What experience standards are they expected to have? And what performance requirements will they be evaluated on? Well, I think therein is why all the work Wayne has put into the VCN network website is so valuable to us, because he has put it all together for us. We just have to take the time to walk through it. Anyway, moving on to the last paragraph, it says, a performance-based learning system meets the need to answer those questions. Performance requirements should be observable according to a documented series of standards and evaluated objectively based on those same standards. In other words, the same set of standards used to evaluate all potential candidates for a specific position. So now let us now move more rapidly through the document. A good review on page 12 of anticipated predictability. We talked about it in one of the other courses that we've already covered, but this is a good review, and particularly in light of ICS, because it pulls us back to our foundation of the incident command system. Also, a good discussion on common denominator standards. The one thing that I did notice in one of the bullets, it was the last bullet on page 12, there's a sentence that says, organizational maps should be documented in advance. Well, if you look at our MV RACES manual, they are documented. So we are well on our way. I would suggest also reading through the continuation of all those bullets on page 13. It's good. Now, moving on to page 14. Now, what Wayne did in this document is he starts describing what are these minimal standards, and again, trying to answer the question: are we making it more complicated than it needs to be? You can see very rapidly that just about everything that's listed here we're already doing. But I draw your attention to the first paragraph on page 14. It says, minimal acceptable performance standards, MAPS, identify the requirements expected of all members to maintain ongoing affiliation with the organization. Ooh, that's strong. MAPS provide a series of standards to be completed by each and every organizational member. And then under organization, he talks about organizational autonomy. We've already had quite a bit on that. But what's interesting is the line of demarcation between organizational autonomy and VCN standards are all the documentation we're talking about. The line of demarcation between organizational autonomy and VCN standards applying to all emergency communicators is after participating organizations designate members to be mobilized. So, and before they initiate travel to the incident. So he's making the point that who is activated, how many of us are activated, and under what circumstances we're activated is the decision of our incident commander for Mission Viejo. Section A-2, it says one of the organizational requirements is designation of a safety coordinator. Now, as I read this, my mind went back to, I think it was the IC-100. IC-100? I can't think of the acronym. Is it IC-100 or something?
IS-100, 700,
IS. 200. It's IS-100. I knew that. They didn't sound right. The IS-100 course. One of the things that was brought out in the IC introductory course was that ICS is very, very scalable, and that while it looks like this document is written as if we had 30 or 40 or 50 members who are trained, the reality is that it's scalable and can be implemented, at least the organizational aspect or management aspect can be done by one person. Which is true, again, the example of going out on a fire truck. The driver, or the most senior person on the fire truck, is the incident commander. And he may have one or two or three people there, but they implement full ICS, even though it's just four people. So in that context, looking at A2, one of our MAPS is to designate a safety coordinator. Well, I think the safety coordinator is our incident commander. And I would suggest that Charlie wears two hats. He is a ZR-11, who is the incident commander for us. He also wears the hat and has documented in our literature, and also is very involved with all of us as our safety coordinator. So, do you concur, Charlie, that you wear ZR-13 hat as well?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else in our organization that wears that hat?
Could be your assistants.
Could be the assistants. That's a good point. Okay. The assistants, if you delegate to them that role, then that's true. But I think, till now, you have taken the initiative to do that.
Yeah, you did tell us to wear seatbelts tonight, so okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seatbelt, yes.
Okay, moving on to the next next requirement, organizational requirement, is on page 15 of 25, is designation of a qualification specialist or training guide. And yes, I think we've accomplished that goal. You're looking at him. So I hold the role and the title of a ZR5Q. Another requirement is a logistics section coordinator. Now remember, you don't need in ICS to have separate people doing these roles. One person can do that. And again, I think Charlie falls under the role thus far of being our logistics section coordinator. And why is that? Because he has to date maintained our ERD, Equipment Resource Directory, or list of all the equipment we have. So now Charlie has three hats. He's a ZR11, Incident Commander, he's ZR13, Safety Coordinator, and he's a ZR41, which is logistics. Notice two of those titles are management, ZR1 or operations, they're command. Two are command responsibilities. And then this third title, ZR4, is logistics. Now moving on, now having dealt with the, so we in fact have organizational autonomy, have had it for years. We have a safety person who has emphasized that for a very long time. We have a qualification specialist, which is myself, and we have logistics, which is again Charlie. So we've taken care of the organizational requirements. Now we move on to resource identification and management requirements at the bottom of page 15 of 25. Now looking at the next page, which is page 16 of this, I highlighted a number of sentences, and I'll just bring it out. In the first paragraph, it says, within any operational area, agencies need to know how many of each resource is available. Okay, and then they go on to talk about what's called the Mutual Agency Coordinating System, or MACS. That is an ICS term. And it says MACS is the coordination of personnel, facilities, equipment, procedures, and communications integrated into a common system. And then they go further on the third paragraph down and say, under MACS, each fire agency or department applies for and is assigned a unique 3-digit organization identifier. And that unique identifier belongs only to that specific organization. Now what's interesting is we already looked at this in the very first class, I think, of the refresher class. Anybody recall what R3 position designator is? As Mr. Hill races.
7AC?
7AM.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll notice that, for example, I sent out an email about reminder of the class. And the designator for this class included 7AM. Today it's US-CA-7AN, which is up on the wall, dash, and unique to this particular class, 130203. So that is a unique designator for all of the activity that's going on because of the work that Wayne did to provide us this structure. And likewise, Tri-City Racy's designator again, the three positions